Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Mark Hockman.
You know what? I might get a breast reduction.
Shut up, you jag off.
Channing Crowder.
Go the spinner.
Chicken and cheese is an aphrodisiac.
Alejandro Solana.
Rudy Gobert.
Those are your weather.
You look slightly zooted.
I might have tailgated a little bit.
Sports.
Thursday night football. You can watch it on your Ring doorbell.
I had some whoopee in a bunch of Waffle House parking lot.
Is milk liquid cow?
Mr. Unlimited.
More sports.
There's pork, but sometimes you gotta eat poke.
It's raining testicles!
The most sports.
If you're in a pickle, just call Squickle.
What's going on here?
I ain't getting no action last night.
The Hockman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Dolphins are back, baby. I don't know how deep everyone wants to get into it. I haven't listened to any sports radio locally. I've watched some of the national stuff. I don't know how deep people want to get into it and say, well, you know, that one was a must win. And now that they got that one, I can actually see the path moving forward where the Dolphins could theoretically be a team that makes the playoffs or is in the playoff hunt at the end or contends for the playoffs. And again, it's, you know, overzealous. Normally it would be on a Monday, but it's Tuesday. The overzealous reaction, you know, of, oh, everything's back to normal. Listen, I felt really good about what we saw last night. And oh, yes. I feel good about who the Dolphins are. Like but I always have, except when Tua was missing. So I'm having a tough time, you know, parsing through my feelings. I want to go, hey, this is the team that I thought at the beginning of the season would be able to go to LA and would be able to stymie a good offense and would be able to put up enough points to win the game and do it in prime time. Like, I want to celebrate that this is the team that I kind of expected to see all season, but I also know that they're 3-6, so I don't know where to put it all.
Last night, the defense overachieved, but I never expected that out of them. Because we were saying,
you know, I'll read you a tweet. I have a tweet I saw from Dan Orlovsky this morning. Man, Anthony Weaver's plan last night for the Miami Dolphins was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he stymied them.
The defense is where I was watching. And Tua, they had some good plays. You know, numbers weren't stupid. I don't think, well, they had 200 yards of offense.
Yeah, like it was fine.
Offense was okay. But the defense, getting to Matt Stafford, knowing where he was, that zone they were playing a lot against Buffalo, pretty much the same game plan. But that front four was getting to Matt Stafford where Josh Allen can take off and, you know, you got to play a little more conservative. Matt Stafford's not running. And I know by not having my 0.5 rushing yards.
Oh, now you know that Matt Stafford's not running after you. Listen, this is no joke. I know you lost that yes. bet. I am. This is not a joke. This is not exaggeration. I have lost 16 wagers in a row. And I texted Pizzola last night. I'm like, I am 0 for my last 16. And he's like, you know, he's like, oh, I had a terrible week myself. And I text him back. I go, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. Oh, do you know how difficult that is to lose 16 bets in a row?
You could have a turtle go to the carrot or the celery on a bet and win more than 0 of 16.
You would. You 100% would.
Yeah.
This is more difficult, I think, than going 16-0.
0-16. You got
to
get
because like 16-0, you're trying to do well. I'm trying to do well and literally cannot win a bet. Man, last night, it was Jamie Eisenberg after the show had texted me, bet Devon Achan over 5.5 receptions. So he had 5 receptions. He had 4 in the first half. Then he had another one. He had 5 receptions. There was about 8 minutes left to play, and I see Jalen Wright is in. So I go, okay, I got to cash out on this bet. It was a $50 bet. They're offering me $53, and I'm going to take the $3, and I'm hitting cash out, and it's going cash out, fail, because guess what? The guy at the Hard Rock also saw that Jalen Wright was in. I wasn't the only one who saw that.
Yes, so I would say Anthony Weaver's defense was – they overachieved last night. If they can play like that, we have a chance to sneak into the playoffs. But I think the matchups, the way they zoned up, Puka and Cooper Kupp, they were trying to get down the field, and the front four was getting to Matt Stafford because they were trying to throw deep stuff, and they couldn't get deep. So I was extremely surprised last night, as yesterday I said they have no chance to win. I took the Rams -2.5. I took the over. I was totally wrong about yesterday. I did not know the Dolphins' defense was about to play the way they did last night.
Read you guys a couple more tweets, then we'll get headlines from Solana. RG3, Robert Griffin tweeted, Miami is not your normal 3-6 team. With Tua Tagovailoa back, they have better energy and confidence on both sides of the ball. They aren't out of the playoff hunt, and it's going to be a wild last half of the season. I believe that. I think that we're going to get hyped up. I don't know where it's going to go. I kind of feel like there might be some similarities with the Hurricanes and the Dolphins here, where you might be able to get there. Hurricanes will. But then I don't know what's going to happen once you are there. But regardless, there's a couple more tweets I thought were interesting. Skip Bayless, extremely impressed and frankly shocked by the Dolphins D holding Matt Stafford and Kupp and Puka to 15 points and 3 of 12 on third down in L.A. Didn't see this coming. Remember when everyone said Tua must retire? He made several clutch throws tonight. What a win. What a loss for the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Mina Kimes, she tweeted out, the Dolphins have the second easiest schedule remaining in the NFL per FTN Fantasy. They can definitely get back in this thing. Another tweet, Marcel Louis Jacques, ESPN. If the Dolphins are able to salvage a playoff run after their 2-6 start, you can probably credit tonight's win over the Rams. There's plenty of work to be done, but they needed this one.
Yes. And
so I said, I don't know what you do with last night, but I know that they did have to win it in order to make the next games. Like, now I have a ton of confidence going into Sunday's game against the Raiders. I think they're going to blow them out.
Was it the turning point, or was it a good game? That's what people are pretty much saying.
Because they put up 3 good games in the last 3.
Yes.
They just only have 1 win out of those 3.
Yes.
When I say good games, 3 games that probably were enough to win.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Bass doesn't hit a 61-yarder. Cardinals don't hit a field goal at the end. Like, you played well enough to win. Like, you could have had 3 out of the last 3, end up with 1 out of the last 3. So, again, I don't know what it means. I don't know if it's too little, too late, but it certainly was needed last night. I know that if they didn't get it last night, it was toast. The entire season was toast. Now at least you can go, okay, you know what? Vegas, then New England, like, they could theoretically be 5-6. And based on the other team Solana was talking about yesterday, who are also in that little bubble area, like 5-6 probably going to put you in a decent spot.
And we've seen it, to your point about good games, what, 27-23 offensive output. You get around 30, you have a chance. I think it's if that defense is what we saw last night. If they can do that, you know, it's impressive. Blitzing off the edges, Javon Holland, our, you know, friend of the show, he had a sack. Like, if they can do what they did defensively, they have a chance to sneak in. Go what? They'll be 6-6 with five games left, something like that. Like, now you, okay, let's see what happens. But, yeah, offensively, I don't think, if Tua's healthy, we're good. Offensively, they'll get in the 20s.
I mean, it's that defense. That completely different team when he's back there.
But I don't even know. Tua's back now. Now the front four can rush better. I don't go along the lines.
I don't know. I mean, maybe the defense just has more confidence that no matter what goes on, the offense is going to be able to do something. So, yeah. I mean, it was like you were constantly trying to not fall off a cliff when it was Skyler or Tyler or Tim Boyle. Like, I feel like the defense, like, all right, let's see if we can do it again with it. You know, where when Tua's back there, like, yeah, maybe you are a little more free to do what you want to do.
That didn't happen the last two games, though, because Tua came back against Arizona. Tua came back against Buffalo. You needed the defense to perform how they were performing. They were one of the top 10 defenses in the NFL before those two games, Hawk. And they had bad performances.
But I'm saying, like,
they're just
the Buffalo
healthy.
The Buffalo game, like, you did what you needed to do against Josh Allen. Tyler Bass hit a 61-yard field goal to win it. Like, the defense did what they needed to do, and Tua did what he needed to do in that game. Like, that's just one of those games where you're facing a really good team. So if you can do that against Buffalo, and if you can do that against L.A., like, you have a pathway.
And that's what it's going to have to be. But just let's get ready for these games. The single-digit games. I think we got caught up in last year's offense. We're a 28-24, 23-17 team, and that's okay. Buffalo does it. The Ravens will beat people about 50, but, like, good teams, when they play each other, it's going to be fourth quarter. Tua's going to have to go get some points, or the defense is going to have to stop Josh Allen. And they stopped him until a guy closed his eyes and kicked the ball as hard as he can, and it actually went through.
Like, that's kind of my point. Like, they did enough. They did enough. They certainly did enough last night. Defense was, I mean, the story for me last night.
I'm excited to see the defense against the Raiders, because if you can play that way against Matt Stafford and Sean McVay, they should dominate the Raiders, who have
I don't even know who their quarterback is.
O'Connell still?
Aiden O'Connell, is he the quarterback?
Let's go. And they're traded away an all-pro receiver. Like, it should be a flat-out butt-whooping at the defense.
They were
figured it out. And you would think, with Anthony Weaver being a first-year DC, he needed some time to figure it out. So if this is now
culminating. Well, looked last night like he figured it out.
That defense blew my mind. I was sitting there in awe.
Because you kept waiting for Stafford and that offense to start click. Like, you kept waiting. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, here comes the drive. And just – never materialized.
Nope. Couldn't run the ball. Couldn't throw the ball. That's pretty much all the offense is.
We have a ton of stuff to get to this afternoon. Josh Appel is going to join us. Will Manso is going to join us. Panthers tonight. Heat tonight. I mean, we got a lot of action, Jack. Let's do a quick look at the headlines with Solana, brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen.
It's Gardner Minshew and Desmond Ridder, by the way, who are the quarterbacks on the depth chart. Looks like Aiden O'Connell is on the IR. Looks like he got hurt. So Desmond Ridder, they signed him off of somebody's practice squad. I can't remember who. And Gardner Minshew, I guess, has just been thrown back in there because they had no other options.
So did Minshew play their last game?
Aren't they coming off a bye? Let me double check here.
I said, I'm following the Raiders.
Yeah. The Raiders' last game was November 3rd in Cincinnati. They lost 41-24. Gardner Minshew, 10 of 17, 124 yards.
Oh, okay. All right. So he's been their QB.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins, they opened yesterday. They were a 7-point favorite over the Raiders. Last I saw, they were a 7.5-point favorite. Yep, 7.5. Over-under is 44.
I'm leaning away from these over-unders. I'm not doing very well.
I'm leaning away from everything.
Just lean towards some table tennis, because these...
I'm going to lean back.
These conventional sports aren't doing it for us.
Guys, guess who's second in the AFC East? Come on.
Jimmy, it's a Victory Tuesday, Jimmy.
I know.
Let's go.
I wish I had a Victory Tuesday t-shirt, but.
So do I. I mean, you could have worn your Victory Monday t-shirt. I don't think we would have I don't think we would have punished you for it, but it's a victory Tuesday, Jimmy.
Hell yeah.
Right. I'd have got on him.
Jimmy has combed his hair more days consecutively over the last week than he did his entire life.
The hair thing has gotten in his head. Yeah, the hair thing got in his head.
He's getting more hair on his head. Let it out of your head, Jimmy.
What shirt are you wearing there, Solana? Is this a NBA Cup shirt?
No, it is a Miami t-shirt. Just the Miami Heat. It says Miami. Mm-hmm.
Oh, like that little mashup.
The mashup jerseys. That's right. What about you, Hawk? What are you wearing? Oh, LL Bean sweatshirt, of course.
Quarter Zick.
I know what works.
Quarter Zick salmon.
Quarter Zick.
Quarter Zip. What is it? Quarter Zip salmon color.
Quarter Zick.
I just ordered. Well, Quarter Zip.
The mall at near Hawk's house, they're like, should we keep ordering these LL Bean sweatshirts? Like, nobody's buying them. Like, no. There's one guy who comes in every couple months.
I wish there was a place in Boca that I could get the LL Bean. I had to go up to Pennsylvania, King of Prussia.
I have never seen another person wear an LL Bean quarter zip, but Hawk has one in every single color.
Well, no one else can wear them. I've got them all.
Are they still in business?
Yeah. I mean, I walked into that store in King of Prussia, Angel sang. It was such a great moment. You know how like people, they go, oh, I want to see the Vatican. That's how I felt about LL Bean up in King of Prussia.
Did it have closeout sale on it?
LL Bean, that's a multi-billion dollar company. I mean, you guys are sleeping.
Everything must go. Everything must go. 50% off.
I wish. Save me. I need that after my 0-16 run. I'm having a tough time spending $90 on these.
All right, guys. So the Dolphins do have the Raiders, as we just discussed. Big win last night, though. Big win. There's a couple other things happening tonight locally. The Miami Heat play their first group stage game in the NBA Cup. First night of NBA Cup action. Second year that they're doing this tournament. They're in Detroit tonight to face the Pistons, coming off a victory. No Jimmy Butler tonight. He'll miss his second straight game.
People excited about the NBA Cup?
I think so. I think there's more interest in it. And look, for all the people, I was preparing my stuff for preheat tonight. I'm going to do like a quick refresher on the in-season tournament. Here's how I ended it. For those of you who argue there's no interest in this tournament, the numbers say otherwise. According to The Athletic, last year's championship game between the Lakers, remember Lakers, Pacers, was the most watched non-Christmas NBA game during the regular season on any network in 6 years. With 5.6 million at a peak viewership number. So people watched the final, man. I think people got into it at the end.
Garbage. Makeup something.
Doesn't make sense.
It didn't sell me either, Solana. Maybe tweak it before you get on the air. It didn't work on me.
Doesn't make sense to me, though. Everybody's hating on the NBA Cup. Oh, first of all, it's a regular season game. So it's just...
I'm not hating on it. I was just curious if people were excited about it.
I know you're not, but there's a lot of people who are like, oh, stupid. This is a dumb idea. Everybody's biggest gripe with the NBA is that the regular season is meaningless. That the Miami Heat showed you that you can be an 8 seed and go to the NBA Finals. So what's the point of watching regular season basketball before Christmas, before the trade deadline? And the NBA is giving these players an incentive to actually try for regular season games, but then people complain about it. Make it make sense
because
to
it's not working, though. Jimmy Butler's not playing. Embiid's questionable, isn't he? Like, it's like the thought. I'm with you. The thought of it is great, but I'm not necessarily certain that it's moving the needle on getting players to play.
Yeah. Let's call it, let's give them some candy canes or, a Subway sandwich if they win on a Wednesday night next week.
I would do mashups like with food. Like I would make it more interesting in a pop culture slant, the winner of tonight's game, it's a regular season game. The winner of tonight's game gets free Chili's for life. And I know that sounds silly for millionaires. Everybody wants to be able to go into a restaurant and eat for free for the rest of their life. You have Chili's logos on the court, And this is just, remember in bowling, I don't know if they do it anymore, fifth frame used to be the beer frame. And so that fifth frame, while it was just another frame, whoever won the fifth frame, the loser of that frame had to buy the beers. Make the game tonight. It's the Chili's game. It's the Applebee's game. It's the Flanagan's game. Like, yeah, just make it cutesy.
How about whatever city the team's in, the celebrity has to get 5 minutes on the court. So, like, Khaled has to play in Miami. You know, Meek Mills has to play for the 76ers.
How about this? Like, you can, whoever wins tonight's game can take anyone on the opposing team and put them on the injured list for 1 week. Wow. There's three players you can protect, so they can't take your super, super, superstars. But, yeah, win tonight's game, and you get to knock someone off their team for another week.
Now we're talking.
No.
Yeah, just make it exciting.
We're
make
not talking. What are you guys talking about? No, we're not
you're
talking.
Telling me.
We're just trying
you're
to help out your beloved regular season.
I'm all for
listen,
it.
We listened to the soliloquy you wrote tonight. It's not going to work. It's not. You're on a pathway to 210 electoral votes. We're trying to help you at the end here.
You're telling me 5.6 million views was only a game in fun since Christmas. That listen, right. Solana, Spo has to get DJ Khaled 5 minutes on the court in a real NBA game.
Or make it for the fans. That'd if they win tonight, you know, the fans in Detroit tonight, if Detroit wins, every single fan gets a $100 gift card at Little Caesars.
Ooh.
So now you're really playing for the fans who are there. And then it comes back to Miami, and every single fan in attendance. Remember, Jimmy, when you wanted to give everybody slabs of ribs?
You know it.
Well, now I see the light, Jimmy. You actually had a good idea. We may have torched it for it back then, but now I see the light.
I like that.
All right, come on. Let's finish up these headlines because I've got a lot of ideas I want to get
right.
Today.
Yeah. Blame me.
The trophy.
Blame me for that. Whatever the hell just happened there. Blame me. Okay. The Florida Panthers. I can't wait to hear what you think. A way to improve regular season hockey is going to be.
That regular season is perfect.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Everybody plays. Nobody bitches. I mean, it's a whole different story.
The Panthers host the Devils tonight. That'll be at 7:30 p.m., a later puck drop than usual, 7:30 p.m. tonight. Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them, 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Partly cloudy in South Florida. Tonight, the lows will be in the mid-70s. That is your weather.
You're telling me you wouldn't find it interesting if there was a Chili's logo at center court and every player and every fan, whoever won that game, gets free Chili's for life?
Every fan.
Every fan. How much could that be?
Millions.
Because aren't they giving, like, whoever wins the tournament, every player gets $1 million?
$517,000.
I mean, how much could it be for every fan?
For life, Hawk?
Yeah, like 20,000 people to get Chili's for life.
Every game, though. You're talking every game during the in-season tournament.
No, each game is something different. So tonight's the Chili's game. The next night's the Applebee's game. You get the businesses to fight over that night. I'd watch that.
That'd be a lot of money, Hawk.
Or maybe it's not Chili's for life. Maybe it's Awesome Blossoms for life.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, and center court life. Is a big Awesome Blossom?
You're telling me.
First of all, it's circular. It makes sense.
I take Chaz. He's 4. They have to give Awesome Blossoms for the next 80, 90 years of his life?
But how many could you eat? In all honesty, if Chaz eats, I don't know, 60 or 70 Awesome Blossoms by the time he's 30, he's not lasting very long. Look at any actuary. There's no chance that you can last very long if you're eating that many Awesome Blossoms.
I think we need to work this one out a little bit.
Uh-huh. I feel like I nailed it. I don't know what you're talking about. Josh Appel is going to join us in the next segment. We'll talk some football with him.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
All right, Miami!
Hawk and Crowder.
The holidays are all about sharing with family.
meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Josh Appel is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. By the way, before we talk some football here, if you're looking for Canes or Dolphins merch, check out Caneswear in Davie on University Drive or online at caneswear.com. Josh Appel does play-by-play nationally on Sports USA for the NFL. He was on the call and had a fantastic call for the Chiefs win over the Broncos on Sunday. But I want to talk Dolphins, Josh. They're 3-6. We were talking a little bit off the air. So they're a remarkably different team when Tua is the quarterback. He is the quarterback again. Do you see a path to the playoffs? Will you allow your emotions to get the best of you after last night and see a path to the playoffs? Or do you think this is too little too late?
I lean too little too late, but the schedule is very favorable, as many have pointed out. They are going to be in the hunt graphic probably until the end of the season. And what I feel like is likely is they're going to look back at that Colts game, the Cardinals game, the Bills game. Maybe you get one or two of those, the Titans game, and you have a lot different outlook on the season. But I think it was Tua who said, and I know you can't really compare year over year because just how different rosters are and circumstances with other teams, but this is a team that started 1-7 a couple years ago and essentially won out at the end of the year and missed the playoffs on a tiebreaker. So like the idea that this team is incapable of that with the talent they have on the roster, I mean, I think it's completely plausible and possible. They're just going to need a lot of help because they've dug themselves such a big hole.
And Josh, speaking of year to year, we were talking about earlier where this isn't the offensive top four category offense. And we still have, you know, a number of the same players on this offense. But we were saying that last night, that defense won that game. That front four getting to Matt Stafford. Is that what can this team mold itself to make that run to where the defense has to step up like it did? Because I think about it, Tua's back 27-27-23. They're a mid-20 offense. But we have to hold people to 20 now, and I think the defense didn't have that responsibility last year. I think the defense has to get us to the playoffs this year.
You know, I think that, you know, with the return of Zach Sealer, it kind of makes you wonder what if he didn't miss those couple of games, if the defense maybe holds up a little better in the second half. You know, like he is clearly such a huge and important part of what this defense does. And I think you're starting to see Chop Robinson finally get into the groove and start to play well. They were able to get pressure on Stafford quite a bit last night. It was by far Anthony Weaver's best game calling plays defensively of the year. And they've shown flashes of being this defense. Like during that losing streak, I mean, Indy, Arizona, Buffalo, those were games they all led in the second half. And the defense had played well for the majority and then fell apart at the end. This was a game that I needed to see from them. Could the defense finish, and are they capable of that? I'm interested to see what happens and how long Fuller is out because they're very thin at corner. But all things considered, they obviously held up very well when he went out of the game last night. Yeah, they gave up a few chunk plays, but if you're going to hold teams to field goals in the red zone and goal-to-go scenarios, you're going to win more often than you're not.
Did we learn more about the Dolphins yesterday, though, than we did about the Rams? Because they had 1-3 straight. They had that big win versus Seattle. And I really thought the Rams were a team that were going to make some noise. But I thought yesterday, I knew who the Dolphins were. Like, I knew what they were capable of. I knew what Tua was capable of when healthy. We saw it the last 2 weeks. I learned more about the Rams last night, in my opinion, that they're really not a good football team, which makes me have some pause buying into the Dolphins going on some miraculous run here, because when they do have to face the Packers and some of the better teams, the Niners, later on in the season, how is that going to look?
Here's the thing I would say about that, though. They're not a good team in primetime. That was one of the big storylines for the Dolphins going into last night. They went across the country in primetime and beat a team that was playing well. I agree with you. I don't think the Rams maybe are as good as many think. They're really young on defense. They got some talent on defense. But that team is always going to be in games because they have Matthew Stafford, Puka Nacua, and Cooper Kupp, and Kyron Williams. Like, they're really talented on offense. Their O-line, it honestly felt reminiscent of kind of watching the Dolphins. Their O-line just completely fell apart last night. And credit to Miami for scheming up some good pass rush and things of that nature. But, I mean, maybe the Rams are not who we thought they were when they're healthy. But, look, I mean, winning three games in a row and then still a talented team coming in, like, it's hard to win every week in the league. And the Dolphins had a really good game plan. And I think the Rams will look back at this film and say, we had some really costly mistakes, really costly turnovers and costly penalties that probably put it out of reach for ourselves while still giving credit to Miami for how they played. I think the Rams will be right in the thick of it in the West the rest of the season. I'm really interested to see how that division shakes out. I have Arizona and Seattle in 2 weeks. Arizona looks really good. San Francisco just got McCaffrey back. They seem like they're getting back to what we're used to seeing from them. And I feel like the Rams and the Seahawks are just good enough to hang around. So it's a really interesting division. I think it's a really good win for the Dolphins last night. And, you know, at times it might not have been the prettiest, but when you're 2-6, you need every win you can get. You take prime time on the road, West Coast, and you take that and you run.
Yeah, especially with their history, like you said, in prime time. But when you look at the Dolphins and you acknowledge, and I think we all know it, they'll be in that in the hunt graphic, like you said.
Live.
Let's say they get to the playoffs. Is this unequivocally a playoff team? Is it better than what the record says? Is it about what the record says? Like, I'm curious what happens if they do get there.
I think that they are better than what their record says. It's so hard to get a gauge for what this team actually is, because you had a 4-game sample without Tua, 5-game sample without Tua, where they were just anemic on the offensive side. They could not move the ball. Their defense was playing well in those games, and their offense could not move the ball and could not score points. Like, you'd have a hard time convincing me that they're not beating Tennessee, they're not beating Indianapolis at the very least, if they have Tua Tagovailoa healthy, right? And I know we're operating in hypotheticals with that, but I don't think it's that controversial to say that the Dolphins are more talented than both of those teams. I really don't. I think maybe the Dolphins aren't as good as maybe we all hyped them up to be, myself included, before the season. But I still think they are, you know, a team that's right in the thick of it as far as being a playoff team. But on the flip side of that, like, that's not where you want to be right now, right? Like, the goal this season was to finally dethrone Buffalo and have a home playoff game and all that. Like, you did we get into the playoffs the last couple of years. And so while it would be great to make it again this year, and it would be a great accomplishment given the start through 8 games, I mean, that's not what they're striving for. They're not striving to be a wild card team to play round one on the road in a place that is going to be in adverse conditions for how they operate as a team and how they operate as an offense.
And just watching it, and they were talking about it last night on the broadcast too, where it's so obvious Tua is going to let go of that ball in 2 seconds. He's not extending any plays. He did a little bit in the Buffalo game through the touchdown to Waddle. But do you think at some point, I don't know if I get the confidence back or whatever, the fear out of us, to where Tua needs to start extending plays more to make that run, talking about a playoff team?
Listen, I thought Tua last night, for the most part, did an excellent job extending the play. Like, there were some, like, think about the third down late. Like, how many times have the Dolphins had the ball up by a score, needing to get like that one extra first down to chew up some clock, and they have a third down and medium, I think it was, and Tua rolls out of the pocket, recognizes the pressure coming in his face, and finds Raheem Mostert for one of the biggest plays that they've made this year. I think he also had another conversion or a touchdown pass where he was on the move as well. I thought, for the most part, he did a really good job, because credit to LA and what they did. They made Tua hang on to the ball quite a bit last night. And I get a little heebie-jeebies watching him, not because of the concussion stuff, but because, like, when he gets hit, he has a tendency to lose the ball. And that happened last night. And he tends to, rush throws that aren't there. And that was, you know, he got lucky a couple times, even after the interception, not having a ball picked off. It wasn't a perfect game by Tua, but like there were moments where they needed a play from him and he made the play.
That was the most impressive part about last night, because we keep thinking of this Dolphins offense clicking as last year's 70-point performance versus Denver. And what I think of when I think of the Dolphins last year and the year before under Mike McDaniel, okay, I love the he's got Hill calls for sure and right. The chunk plays. But every time the Dolphins had like a third and long, third and nine, third and eight, third and 13, you felt like you had a chance. And that was gone this year, even in the last two games. You felt last night, every time you had a chance, even after the Mostert third and 14 conversion, the biggest play of the game, in my opinion, was the third and nine pass to Malik Washington on the move, which set up Jason Sanders to go kick a 50-yard field goal. That is what was missing, Appel, from this Dolphins offense. Not so much the big plays, but the timely plays when you need them.
You all thought Jason Sanders was missing that field goal, right?
100%. I already 100%. Had the tweet written out.
100%.
Listen, if that was for 50, no disrespect to Jason Sanders, but if that's a 51 or a 52-yard attempt, that thing's going wide right. He really stuck it inside that right upright. I mean, you've seen, again.
That had missed field goal and then 8-point play coming up from the Rams. I mean, like, we all totally. Knew the script. We had seen the script.
But that, I guess, it was what, for me, was so encouraging about last night, and what felt different was that when they needed that play, when they needed that third down conversion to chew another minute off the clock, they got it. And then Sanders stepped up. Doesn't matter how close it was, he made the kick. And it was just a fantastic job by the Dolphins executing late, and a really, really awesome job by the defense and just how they played overall. Zach Sealer, like one of the most underrated players in the game, especially for the value they get with his contract.
And you call all you, Josh, you go around the league and all. Is the AFC, we thought it was going to be a lot stronger this year. Will that be susceptible or advantageous, I would say, to the Dolphins? Because Cincinnati's coming on, but their record's not great. We know the Ravens and the Chiefs are going to make it. So is it really the Ravens and the Chiefs and then everybody else pretty much piled up no matter the records? Because the AFC is underachieving this year, I believe.
I think you could put Buffalo in that category with those two teams. That Chiefs-Bills game on Sunday is going to be incredible. I think that plays into the Dolphins' hands, though, because it feels like there are a lot of just like the same types of teams in the AFC playing for those final playoff spots, right? So I think that actually is advantageous for the Dolphins that there is such a logjam where a lot of these teams are kind of beating up on each other, and I think it happened any week. Like, there's never been as many close games, one-score games in NFL history than there has been this season. I mean, ask the Chiefs. They've played in eight of them. Like, all of their games come down to the end. And it happens with everybody. Like, Baltimore blew out Denver the week before, right? And then Denver goes into Kansas City and is a 35-yard field goal getting blocked away from defeating the Chiefs. The Bills, the Bengals, like all these teams, they all play these close games. And I think that kind of plays into the Dolphins' hands.
Dolphins, we're up against it. Dolphins handle their business Sunday against the Raiders?
Business will be handled.
All right. You're buying. You're buying. Yeah. Oh, you saw last night, and now you're in. They'll be five and six. Here's what I think, though. They're going to be 5-6 with two victories coming up over the Raiders and the Patriots, and they're going to look really good because it's the Raiders and the Patriots. And then we might have a false idea of who they actually are versus who they really are. I don't know. The pendulum might swing wildly from one side to the next with a couple of, you know, demonstrative victories over the Raiders and the Patriots.
But isn't that what's so great about this sport? Is that a month ago, the season's over and they're not playing for anything.
The great thing about sports, politics, the markets, everything. I mean, you feel one way one day and you feel a totally different way the other day. I can't wait for NBA Cup tonight.
Lie.
Yeah, at 2 o'clock, I thought it was boring. I've swung the other way. I cannot wait tonight for the NBA Cup.
Solana got me on board with it.
If we could take that month of non-Tua football out, we'd have a whole different thought about it.
Oh, my God. I mean, that was just, honestly, it's –
That was upsetting.
Yeah. I think – I don't know if Hawk or Crowder ever experienced this, but Solana, maybe it was more of our generation than we were in school. You know, sometimes in a class, like, the teacher at the end of the semester would be like, all right, you can drop your lowest test grade from the overall average at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the NFL should institute that kind of a rule. where you can just drop your one or two worst performances. And how about your final
record? A mulligan. One mulligan at the end of the year. Hawk, did they have that in 1920 when you were in elementary school?
Well, a mulligan is a do-over. You'd have to play it again. That's not what Josh is talking about. No. But Josh is kind of talking about how the college football playoffs used to be, which was subjective. Like you literally, at the end of the season, the brain trust would get in the room and they'd go, you know what? They weren't as bad as their record shows, and they're the champions. That's what Josh is lobbying for there. Just make it subjective at the end of the season.
Crowder seems on board with it.
What they do in the schoolhouse, they would take your worst grade away.
Mm-hmm.
So not all teachers would do it, but some teachers would do a thing at the end where they're like, hey.
Get your marks up.
Listen, did y'all's bus have tinted windows?
Oh, okay. You want to talk about what you majored in at UF? Mr. Twinkle Toes?
I want to talk about tinted school bus windows. Don't your kids go to U school?
I was undecided, Solana. And we drop our kids off, Josh, just so y'all know the truth.
All right, we got to go. We love you. Josh Appel there. See you, Josh.
Love you guys.
It's a Victory Tuesday. I mean, you can't tell me otherwise.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
All right, Miami!
Hawk and Crowder.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.